Welcome to the Kiss My Crown podcast. Now, this is the place for women who want to have it all and then some. This is about mindset. This is about manifestation and everything in between. My job here is to empower you to become the queen of your world, just like you deserve to be. I'm your host, Natasha Mundy.
Hello, darling, and welcome to this week's episode of the Kiss My Crown podcast. I am your host, Natasha Mundy, and as always, I am thrilled and I am honored and privileged that you are here sharing your energy with me today. I'm forever grateful to every single person who listens and, you know, and that you just feel so soul aligned to be here. And as always, you know, remembering that it's not an accident that you have stumbled on this episode today. It is, you know, we don't believe in coincidence. It's a message. It's something that you're actually meant to hear, which is so exciting. And that makes it even more special that you're here. So whether you're a longtime listener or you've just stumbled across this episode for the first time ever, we've got something fun to talk about today. So today what I wanted to talk to you about is that I want to share my experience that I've been having with a spiritual awakening. All right. So, and you know, so I'm going to be talking all things spiritual awakening, or, you know, my journey with spiritual awakening, rebirth and rebuilding. Because I've touched on each, you know, like you'll hear little things that I've touched on in other episodes, but I haven't actually talked about the journey in general. And it's, you know, like, and it's a journey that's still in process as well. And what better way, you know, to share this journey as it's happening than to talk to you guys about it. You know, and again, you know that I am so passionate about sharing through stories and experiences, because I don't think that, you know, women are not encouraged to speak their stories, to use their voices and to speak and tell their stories. But telling your story is how you help other people. Because I just don't know, there might be someone else who's going through this. And I know that there's other people going through this from my own conversations with my own friends who are going through something similar. So yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you about my journey today. And yeah, like, I don't know, it's the first time actually talking about it in full. And you know, there's, you know, it's one of those funny things, because it's hard to put an exact finger on when it started, but we're just going to go through there anyway. So what is going on in my world? Well, I've just had an incredible 24 hours adventuring. So every year, this is what I love about so traditions. So think about traditions, you know, sometimes we think they're long and old and they've been around forever, but I love the fact that you can actually create your own traditions. And a tradition that I created with my mum back in, I want to say 2020, was we have something here in Adelaide. It's called the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and it's a festival of the arts. So there is dancing, comedy, burlesque, there, you know, all different sort of performing. And we have these beautiful, like, it's a very artsy cultural vibe, and it takes over the whole city. It is just incredible. And all these beautiful places to eat and to go and do things, and just everything's open all the time, and it's just absolutely incredible. And there's shows for everyone, you know, whatever you're into, you know, including kids as well. So a tradition my mum and I have started is that we stay in a hotel in the city, because we don't live in the city, and you know, we usually have like a girls' night, and we go out somewhere delightful for dinner, and then we go catch a beautiful show. And we might do that, like, you know, more than once. Not sometimes more than once, not necessarily staying at the hotel, but we might catch more than one show. But we usually, at least one show, make a full thing of it. And what we decided this year is to include my son. So literally ripped him out of school for 2 days, packed him up and headed off down into the city. And it's just a way to, as I said, it's about a tradition. So we've been doing this for 3 years now, and it was just so nice to be able to include my son in the tradition. And we will continue to do so, because I just, you know, obviously everybody has what they value. But for me, what I value is creativity and art. So to be able to immerse my son in that culture for, you know, for that brief amount of time was just amazing. And also we stay in a beautiful five-star hotel. And, you know, we have a nice dinner and we have that family time together. We go out for breakfast and the next day we went and headed to the local zoo. And we just had this beautiful, beautiful time. And for me, why that's really important is just about immersing my son in that as well, is that, you know, by doing those sort of things, you expose him to the sort of life that you, you know, sort of want him to have, in that sense of you're dealing with his standards at a really, really young age. And so in hopes that when he gets older, he realizes that that's his minimum and energetic minimum, so that he is then creating a life that he loves and having those sort of standards as well as what is possible for him as well. I know some people might see it as completely spoiling and may not agree with that, and that's totally fine. But this is just, you know, I know the sort of life that I want him to be able to have, and you know, and I think that, you know, when we can condition people to, you know, the type of life and conditions, and that anything's possible, and all those sort of beautiful things that I now, you know, believe, and I could do that to my child, and I can give that to my child at a really young age, and I can teach him about manifestation. You know, he's 12 years old and he already knows about manifestation. So I just know how different all of our lives would be if we had learnt this stuff earlier and if it was readily available. So I love being able to teach my kid about this. As for the Kiss My Crown world as well, it is just creation, creation, creation. I had my big CEO day the other day, which was just absolutely amazing. And so now it is getting down to the business end and getting all this, you know, happening and rolling. And I'm just so, so excited about it. I'm about to relaunch an old masterclass that I had. I'm going to revamp, relaunch, ready to go, and I'm really excited about that. And I've got some new things on the horizon as well, which I'm so, I can't wait to share with you guys. But anyway, let's get into it. I've got my coffee in hand, I'm ready to go. So where to start? I think we start with the spiritual awakening itself. So I can't tell you exactly when the spiritual awakening started, or, you know, I would say it was last year. Definitely last year when it sort of started. And I don't really know what sort of spurred it on. And I guess for me, I'm really lucky that I was part of this sort of manifestation and I was kind of spiritual anyway, because it just made the transition into this a lot easier. And I really wanted to, and I knew that I sort of wanted to go through a spiritual awakening, because I sort of I got to a point and said, I can't pinpoint, I don't know when that happened, but I think, you know, to do with a lot of the work that I've been doing anyway, when it comes to manifestation and stuff, you start to realize that you've been, and I guess it's how I really feel now, there's really been a catalyst this year. You know, so I think that the seeds were being planted last year, but I think that 2023 has been the year that I have gone all in on this sort of spiritual awakening. And, you know, there's, you can look it up online and stuff like that. There is a few different sort of resources that can tell you a little bit about the different stages of a spiritual awakening. And I didn't actually realize this until I was sort of going through it, and until I went through something recently on New Year's Day, which I have spoken about, which I call my rebirth. But, and then when I sort of looked into a little bit more, the rebirth was kind of what they refer to on as an ego death, which is really interesting. So what they say when I'm looking online is stage one of a spiritual awakening is waking up to the void. And this is definitely what I sort of felt like last year, like especially the end of last year, where what it felt like for me is that the veil was starting to get pulled back and the cracks in the world, or, you know, what we've been told, were really starting to show for me. And, you know, this is me too, you know, like I was in the pinnacle. I thought I was doing what I wanted, you know, when I had that beautiful job in luxury retail, but that was actually not great. And, you know, like, and I thought I had everything that I wanted. I was building the house. I was, I don't know, I got the new car and, you know, and I'm buying the designer stuff. And I really thought like, yep, things are going really, really, really well. But then from there, it just started to feel wrong. It felt wrong. And by that, and what I mean is like when the cracks were starting to show is it just started to feel fake, right? And, you know, and it wasn't sort of, it was something that was fulfilling me that was no longer fulfilling me. And there was a lot of things that just weren't fulfilling me anymore. And, you know, like, and I just was feeling exhausted. I was feeling run down, and I was, because like, you know, I'd bought into this hustle culture for so long as well. And I was just done. I just couldn't live like that anymore. And I definitely think it was around the time of my 40th birthday as well. And I don't know what it is about that age that it can be very common for women at this particular point to go through this, because I know after catching up with a friend from a really long time and we hadn't seen each other from high school, is that we were both talking about this same thing, this void, this sort of feeling like you'd been sold a lie that, you know, your life was all mapped out for you, or you didn't really have any choices. And, you know, in her case, she followed the map and then just felt like, for what? And I spent my life not following the map, trying to catch back up again, you know, and, you know, feeling like, for what? Because I felt like, you know, like I was, you know, not right because of it, and made to feel that way. But it was funny enough that we both took very different paths, but at the age of 40, we've both come to the same realization that, you know, where you feel like you've been sold a lie, you know, whether that is, you know, they refer to, and I don't know what they do in other countries, but I just know with Australia and America is very similar in the sense of the great Australian dream or the great American dream. And, you know, and that is, you know, find a husband, settle down, get married, have babies, you know, have a house and a white picket fence and 2.5 kids and all that sort of, you know, bullshit, and have the dog and have the, you know, and that's it, right? And I know for me, for a long time, I'd always felt like that was never enough. And then I felt really guilty because I wanted more, because I wanted more than what I was meant to have. And, you know, like it's been a whole thing my whole entire life, right? Of feeling this way. And, you know, like I said, last year, it just started, the cracks started to appear because I started getting curious and I started questioning everything, you know, and it's like, you know, and my favorite one, and I tell my students this all the time as well, who said, you know, when you think of like a rule of life, like, well, who said that was meant to be that way? Who said that's all I can have? Who said I have to have children? Who said I have to do this or have to do that? Or who said I had to get married? Like, and, you know, what is the benefit if I do that? Who is gaining from that? You know, like, so if I go along and, you know, I should just work my, you know, retail 9 to 5, or never 9 to 5, but, you know, where I'm getting, being overworked and underpaid. Well, who's gaining from that when that happens? You know, and I tell you, there's a lot, you know, it's not just the employer who's gaining from it, but it's also the government, because you're sitting there doing as you're told, not asking any sort of questions. It's, you know, like there are people who are benefiting from that. So making sure you're checking in on that. And that's where it started for me, was checking. It's like, well, who said, you know, and who said it can't be this way and can't be that way? And obviously for me, working with manifestation has been a huge catalyst for this spiritual awakening, but it really hit me at the end of last year. And so on New's Day, I would have gone through what they call of stage 2 of a spiritual awakening, which is the awakening dark night of the soul. This is the ego death. And this happened when, you know, on New's Eve of 2022, I lost a family member. And, you know, and then on New's Day, I just knew that I was about to have to deal with so much. And, you know, and obviously all these cracks were already appearing, and I'd lost interest in a lot of things that I was doing. Like, I'd really been going through that already anyway. And, you know, so I went, and what I, you know, just found out later on, it is an ego death. And it was almost like this old version of myself had just completely shed it away. Like I it was almost like a snake shedding its skin, you know, like it was just this thing. And then what happened on news day, I had to go stay with my, with family on news day. And on the way I had Connor with me and thought, before we can go and deal with any of that, we're actually going to go to the beach. We're going to go to the beach. This is news morning. This is like leaving here at 7 a.m. in the morning. And it was just, and we went to do, I was taking the paddleboard and everything like that. But because I was in sort of a state of grief as well, like I just wasn't with it either. And when we got down there, it was so fun. We got down to the beach and I had forgotten the towels. I'd forgotten the pump. The pump wasn't working for the stand-up paddleboard. And then I forgot the paddle anyway. It was just this whole series of events. And anyway, I was just like, fuck it. We're just going to go swimming. Let's just go under the water. Like, and because sometimes it's enough. You know, when things always go wrong, you're like, oh, fuck this. I'm not going to do it. But we didn't. We just went down to the water. And it was funny because it was so peaceful. Despite the fact it was news day and it's summer in Australia, for those who aren't in Australia. So it's summer for us over that time and it's just incredible. And we get down there and it's this, so this beautiful weather, not too hot, not too cold. And the water is just this incredible blue, like you just wouldn't believe. And there was hardly a soul out there because obviously everyone had been partying the night before. So they were still asleep. It was amazing. And, but I was just really drawn the whole time, like get down to the ocean, get down to the ocean, get down to the ocean, like something in me telling me to get down to the ocean. And then I started to walk into the water and it was sort of cold. And you know, and I'd been feeling like even before this loss of my family, like I'd been, there's a real heavy feeling going through this spiritual awakening, you know, like a heaviness of holding you down and you've questioned everything that you've believed for 39 years. And, you know, it's really heavy. It's really heavy. And there's so many emotions around it as well, because you feel, I don't know, not stupid. You feel a bit like, oh my God, you do feel a bit stupid, I guess, maybe, like, and not that you are, but you feel like, man, I've bought into this bullshit my whole entire life. Like, how could I be so stupid? And I don't mean that in a negative way, but these are just, I want to share with you the experiences and the feelings and all of them in their essence. You feel lost. You feel alone. I definitely had felt like that so much. I felt really alone. Even though I had people around me, I felt so alone. And definitely, and lost is a great way for someone who, like me, who has so much ambition and direction and knows exactly where they want to go. I felt lost. I felt dark. I felt deep. I felt lost. I felt all these things. And obviously I'd known that I was about to walk into having to deal with some big fucking feelings and organize a funeral and all this sort of stuff. Anyway, so I walked into that ocean and there was just this pull and this calling that just said, dive into the ocean, dive in, dive under the water. And I did. And I dived into the water and I shit you not, and I've never felt like this ever before. And I swear probably the way that I tell the story does no justice either for it. But as I dived into the water and the water all come under me and I was all underneath, fully submerged under the water, it felt like everything was just being cleansed and washed away, all that heaviness. All that, you know, it was like almost like, you know, I said like shedding like a snake, and it was almost like that skin was still holding on, just couldn't quite come off. And what it felt like as I emerged back from the water again, that it all just washed away. It washed away. And I guess like the easiest way to describe it is it felt like a baptism. Like I mean, I was baptized as a baby. I can't say that it ever felt like that when I was younger. But what it felt like is it felt like everything from the past had just been washed away. Like the universe had just like taken care of it. Just like, I'm taking this from you, this heaviness, this load you've been carrying, all this thing that is your old you, I'm taking it away. I'm going to, like, you are going to start again. You are going to start with this clean slate. You are going to start fresh. you were going to do that, that's what's going to happen. And that's how it felt. And I came out, and it's so funny because, you know, despite the fact that I was going into one of the most emotional times of my life, is at the same time, I felt prepared. Like, I don't know. It was like this inner strength as well. So like, it wasn't like being reborn where you're like, you know, like a baby and you've got no idea what's about to happen in your life, even though it is kind of like that. But it was like still encompassing parts of me, you know, like, so I felt this inner strength, and it was like it took all the other parts of me that weren't real and had left me at my essence, at my core of the person who I truly, truly am. And it was the most incredible, incredible feeling I have ever experienced, because it was just, I don't know, you know, and you're almost looking around like, did anyone else see this? Because obviously it was just me, like literally standing at like knee depth water, diving in, coming back out again. The whole thing took like 2 seconds, 3 seconds, maybe five if I'm lucky. And it felt like an eternity. Like it felt like my whole world just shifted and changed in that one little moment. It still took me a little time though to catch up, right? So sometimes when you go through things like this, right, is, you know, and this was also for me what I definitely believe to be a quantum leap, but I feel like I haven't had just one quantum leap already this year, but rather two, and I'll explain that in just a sec as well. So it was like I had emerged into this, like I felt like when I emerged from that water that I had emerged into to my higher self, to the version of me that I had been longing to be and that I'd been working to be for so long. I felt like I was her straight away. As soon as I came out of the water, I'm like, I'm her. I am the version of me I have been dreaming of for the past 12 months. I am her. And I felt like that. I was her. And sometimes it does take a little bit of, there's a bit of a catch-up phase as well that happens when that happens, because you do step into your higher self and you become your higher self, and you have, you know, because I really had achieved all the things that I had wanted to achieve for so long. And, you know, there is a catch-up phase. It's almost like, it's like you're physically here, but mentally and everything like that, it's like your body sort of needs to catch up a little bit as well. And this is usually where you have a little, there can be a bit of resistance, right? Because it's like being a tourist in a new town. It's like you rock up to this new town and you're like, oh, wow, I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know anyone here. You know, like, so you've got to take time to explore and to get to know the place before you're comfortable. Like, okay, cool, I know my way around now. It's that same sort of thing. And sometimes you can go, maybe it's not quite for me, and try to sort of revert to some old ways, you know, because the ego is sort of pulling you back to safety. Like, ooh, this is a bit scary. We don't like being here. it's a whole bit of a thing, right? So then what I believe is that I also then had another, like another quantum leap as well. So I think that, you know, I've been trying to figure out and sort of rebuild who I am, because that's what it felt like this real clean slate. But I don't think I realized it at first. And then I don't think it was for like another month or two that I was like, oh, hang on, this is clean slate time. Like, I get to be all of me. And what I'm finding at the moment and what I really love. So if we were to catch up on what I've found online with what the stages of spiritual awakening is I'm not sure where I'm at the moment. So there's the stage three is what they call the sponge. And this is like the explorer phase, as they call it, when you're not sure what you want, but you know clearly what you don't want. And you chip away at the things that no longer resonate with you. So I felt like before, from January, from that rebirth moment till about February, that I was probably, that's where I was, you know, like in experimenting with hobbies and jobs and people and experiences and filling the void with things that bring you peace and joy. Like I've been, you know, and these are things like writing, art, time in nature, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that's definitely like writing for me has been where I've been with that. So I think, and shifting into new habits. So I've been very much experimenting with new habits for sure. Then I feel like this is where I'm at now. This is called stage four, and it's the soul sessions. And I love it. They're like, this next stage cannot be rushed. In truth, it can take months, years, and even decades. This is the true you emerging and developing structure for your own spiritual self to exist and thrive. So I feel like that's sort of where I am now, of implementing those tools and routines and rituals and strategies to stay aligned to my true self. That's where I sort of feel like I am. The next step is surrender and allow. That's stage 5. It's time to let go fully of who you thought you were so you can be all that you're destined and truly meant to be. So I probably feel like maybe that's where I am actually. Like I feel like, I don't know, this is why I feel like I've been in another little quantum leap, because I feel like another part happened really, really quickly. Like, so what I've noticed lately is that for me in the past, when I would go through what I would call phases, you know, I had my surfer girl phase, I had my rave girl phase, I had, you know, what else have I had? My wrestling phase, like, and they were always phases. And what would happen is that I would get into these, you know, sports or hobbies or things, and they would become my identity. So, you know, like when I was in my surfing phase, like I was the epitome of surfer girl, of what, you know, it was, you know, sort of what a surfer girl should be, the way that it's seen on TV and advertised and all that sort of stuff, you know, the blonde hair, living at the beach, the tan, and I would eat, breathe and live surfing. I would do, and then it was the same when I was raving, it was the same thing, and I became like the full stereotypical rave girl, you know, from what I wore and all that sort of stuff. And then when I was, you know, in my wrestling phase, which was probably the more recent one, it was the same thing. I just eat, breathe and live wrestling, all things wrestling, nothing else. There was no room for anything else, because I became that totally consumed by what it was that I was doing, and that I lost myself in it as well. So I was never just me doing these things. I became those things. And I think, you know, like when I look at my life, like I really felt like then that was always me trying to fit in and trying to discover who I was, because I just was never comfortable with just myself or even knowing who I was. I was too busy my whole life trying to be all these things that people told me that I should be, that I never had that chance to really get to know who I am. Where what I feel like now is, it's funny because, you know, now obviously I've been paddleboarding and kayaking, and what I've definitely this year have really rediscovered how, like, my love for the ocean or my love for the water and how important it is to me. And, you know, by doing something different, that I'm actually now getting back into surfing as well. But it's so funny because now it just gets to be something that I do, not who I am. You know, like it might make up a part of me, like, yeah, I love surfing, I love the water, I love the ocean. That's something that I enjoy, but I am not a surfer girl where I'm going to give up everything. And what I love about that is because, you know, like it's the same when I went through my fashion era or my luxury era, you know, like it's like, well, now I get to combine all of these things as things that I enjoy and that create my life. So it means like, yeah, like, does that mean I can be the bougie ass fucking surfer girl? Yes, yes, it does. You know, who loves wrestling and who loves this and who loves that? And it's so eclectic. Absolutely. And I'm fucking so here for that because I don't know, it is so freeing. And I had posted on Instagram the other day that I just felt like for the first time in my life, I get to be truly who I am, like all of me, you know, because all of these things made up parts of who I was. But I could never have them simultaneously because I always had to be all in on this one thing, where now I don't have that. Now they just, I'm like, oh my God, these are little parts of myself and I get to be all of me. So for the first time in my life at 40 years old, I get to be all of me. Like I get to be the business fucking woman. I get to be the coach. I get to change the world. I get to surf. I get to play in the ocean. I get to love wrestling and I get to, you know, like love fashion and, you know, buy designer handbags and all this sort of stuff. Like I get to have it all. And that is just so fucking powerful. So I think that's sort of why I'm at that sort of stage 5 is like, I've, you know, I think I've, you know, like, and it was like that big jump from trying to work out who I am to being like, the realization like, oh, this is who I am. Like, this is so cool. And it's so powerful. And it was just such a huge thing. And I know that there was a bit of a thing going on, that there was this big portal for people, for spiritual people who, you know, quantum leaped like 2 years ahead in just like 2 months. And I honestly believe that. because I feel that. And it's just, you know, what I've been through in the beginning from January to March, what I have been through is probably more than I had been through in 2 years in such a long time. So it was a real sort of, you know, eye opener. So stage six of a spiritual awakening as well is awareness and service. And this is where you're full of awareness and your divinity, your light and your love, and you no longer live in a place of ego, and spreading your light is your mission and the service to the world. And you do this by honoring your joy and living your passion. I think that's where I'm headed. You know, in my journey, I really do feel like that's the final sort of step, and that's where I've headed. And I think that having my business and, you know, that's where I get to do that too, which is really, really exciting because, you know, like I said, you know, during all of this, part of it is that I felt so alone. And, you know, and I felt alone because I didn't have other people sharing their stories about this. I haven't heard someone else's story about this, you know, whether that be because I haven't looked for it or because, you know, me and my friends don't talk about that. And it wasn't until I had caught up with my old best friend from high school and we were starting to talk about it. And, you know, she doesn't know the path I've been on or the spiritual journey that I've been on. But the fact that we could relate over it was like, oh, hang on, this is a thing, you know, and you know, she's going through that too. And hopefully by sharing my story, like I can help her through that. Because as I said, there is that feeling of alone. And perhaps with a spiritual awakening, you do need a bit of time alone and to be with your thoughts, because I think that you can get lost in the noise. And this journey itself has been, it's pretty full on. I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat it. Like it's, you know, it's full on and it has its ups and downs. And, but I don't, you know, like, and it's like initially it's like, it probably feels a bit darker, right? But I guess the difference between going through it as well is that you sort of slightly always know that there is a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel and you can see that light the whole way. So you sort of walk towards it and, you know, like, yes, there has been times that I have ended up in tears laying on the floor having a big menti bee with my husband because I'm afraid of everything that this world is going on in the world because I let that get to me. That was my second quantum leap. I was trying to think what it was and I'm like, no, it was that moment of like, no, it was amazing. But anyway, and sometimes you need to break right down to be able to rebuild yourself up. And even though I'd had my little rebirth, I hadn't started rebuilding yet. And that was the catalyst for me rebuilding, was having a big menti bee with what was going on in life. And I'd been holding in all these feelings and trying not to express them. And the moment that they just kept exploding out of me was the moment that I can be like, okay, yep, it's time to rebuild. It is time. So here we are. Here we are. I'm so excited to have shared that journey with you because it's been on my mind for a little bit and I just haven't actually shared it. So, you know, obviously I will keep you posted as what goes through to the next part of it. But yeah, I don't know. I hope that shed some light, you know, and if it's something that you're going through, you know that, you know, even though you may feel alone, you're not alone. And, you know, reach out, share your story. Like I would love to be able to hear it. All right, gorgeous. Thank you so much for your time here today. I will finish up by sharing with you. This is my one thing with this podcast, right? This podcast is a completely free resource, right? It is full of free content and free resources to help you along your way for your journey because, you know, I want to be able to reach the thousands and the millions. And, you know, sometimes people can't afford to do programs and that is totally fine on where they are at their journey. But sometimes I still need support and help and I want to be able to provide that through this podcast. But the only way for this podcast to grow and for that message to be shared is by you helping out and sharing this podcast with other people, recommending this podcast with other people, share that you're listening to it on Instagram so that more people can see it and on your social media. Like the more that happens, and tag me in it. I would love to, you know, be a part of that journey too, because I honestly believe that we can change the world one woman at a time, but the message needs to get out there. And the only way for it to get out there is for you to help and to spread the word that is, you know, self-love, manifestation, women's empowerment. That's what we're here for, right? So I hope you have an amazing rest of the day. Mwah! Thank you so much for supporting the Kiss My Crown podcast. Now, if you want to keep in touch or up to date with all things Queen Creations, make sure to head over to the website of www.queencreationsdesign.com. It is your one-stop shop for everything to do with Queen Creations.